Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Welcome on in, everybody. Friday, June the 6th here on Sports Talk. I'm going to do a big old OTA wrap-up with myself, Jeff Nowak, Charlie Long, hanging out with you until 7 p.m. this evening. Going to be talking about a lot of the Saints, also getting into the NBA Finals. What a wild game last night between the Pacers and the Thunder. And also, of course, previewing LSU baseball super regional action. West Virginia coming to the box for a best of three series that opens tomorrow, 1 o'clock. And I was complaining so much last week about the 8 p.m. first pitches. Well, they blessed us with a 1 o'clock first pitch tomorrow, but man, oh man, it is sure going to be hot at the box.
Yeah, no, it'll be nice to watch daytime baseball. I'm looking forward to it. Because, yeah, I'm old. I like to go to sleep.
That's how I look at you. I'm old. You know, 9 o'clock comes around, I'm ready for Betty Bye.
Especially those, regionals are tough. Because, you know, the start time for that second game is always just like, I mean, that first night, it was, you know, I woke up to like see if it would, and I checked the score to be like, I wonder who won. It was still going on. It was 3 a.m.
Yeah,
that game was still going on.
Had to turn around. The winner had to play 2 p.m.
I don't recall the time, but right. It was like, that's absurd. And that, at least with the Supers, you have kind of a set, like, you know, it could go extras and go forever, but, you know, generally speaking, you know when it's going to start, and then it's just a baseball game. I am interested to see how West Virginia kind of mucks up this whole series, because, you know, that's their thing. You know, chaos, small ball, bunts, steals, you know, squeezes, you know, and it's just annoying to watch, right?
I'm just hoping that, you know, the hot weather helps the ball fly out the park for LSU.
Yeah, I mean, they were certainly knocking it out the other night, you know. I was texting you, like, when the game started and they were down 5-1, I was like, there's forever to go in this game. They just need to get some outs. Yeah. Like, there was a point in that second inning that it was like every ball was just falling into the, you know, no man's land.
It started to feel like, oh, no, things are just going, everything's going wrong for LSU.
It was, but it's like it goes wrong until you make it go right. And then so obviously
switch that momentum.
Case and Evans got in there and settled everything down. And then all of a sudden it's like, okay, yeah, you could score 4 runs as long as you stem the tide at 5. Which they did. They were like, if Little Rock needed to score 10 runs to win that game, just like they scored 10 runs the other night. The difference is Little Rock scored 5 runs early, and then you blanked them other than that one run in, what, the 8th inning?
Right.
So, like, that was the difference, is you didn't allow them to build that lead. And LSU was like waves on a beach, and it's just like, it's going to keep coming, like, over time. Little Rock didn't have the pitching. That's what happened. So, you know, I don't know if West Virginia is going to be that easy to shut down because they manufacture runs in ways that Little Rock was never going to be able to. So we'll have to see. But
talk about not easing the shutdown. Looking at the NBA Finals, yeah. I don't know why I doubted this Indiana Pacers squad.
Well, because they're not that good.
I was bored with this game for three quarters, I feel like. And then what do you know? The cardiac Pacers end up turning it up at the end of the game.
Yeah, you know, it's
Charlie's
weird.
Cheering.
Like, Halliburton didn't even have a good game. He just hit that shot.
The shot, right.
I think Richard Jefferson was trolling him, like, with 3 minutes to go. Like, your star player can't put up tour dates in the finals. Which I don't even know what that really means, but whatever.
That was Richard Jefferson's entire career. You're
right.
Tour dates.
Right, right. But he was never the star player, so you give him credit for that. But I don't know. You know, it was weird because the Pacers are just a team that just – hit shots. They just keep hitting shots. And it's like, they're not even good shots a lot of the times. They're just going in, and then all of a sudden it's a five-point game, and the Thunder were just, like, coasting for the last 10 minutes, it seemed like. It was like there was the slowest train ever, and they just were unable to get off the tracks for whatever reason. Like, they sprained both ankles, you know. I don't know. They had dirt in their eye. It was just bizarre. Yeah, even the way they were playing.
The end, right?
Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, if he wasn't capable of hitting the most insane layups you ever see, like, you know, he makes them look so casual as he's driving into three people, has hands all around him, hangs in the air, and then just kind of flips it in at the last second. You're like, what? How? How did he even get the ball through there? But he does.
Except at the end of the game.
Yeah, because he took a bad shot. I don't know. It's funny, there was a review, and I think Pascal Siakam was fouled. The Thunder would have been better off had that foul been called, because Pascal was not making two free throws. and it would have been tied, and then they would have come down and get the last shot, and Shai probably makes that shot. So I don't know. It's interesting because, like, I don't think this really changes the series that much right now, but this is the same thing I said in the Celtics series, the same thing I said in the Knicks series of, like, okay, like, they're the better team. The Thunder are the better team. They win game two, they're going to take at least one game in Indy, and then you're kind of right back there, and you're not beating them in a game seven at home. Well, if you blow both games at home to start a series, that's tough. And then you worry about, like, you know, look at the Celtics. You know, I think if Jason Tatum doesn't sprain his ankle, they'd probably still win that series.
Right.
But things happen over the course of a seven-game series, and you've now eliminated all your margin for error on one kind of just lazy finish to a game against a team that you know is capable of doing exactly what they did. They've, like, no team has ever done it more than the Pacers have done it this year.
Charlie, you were telling me an insane stat from the Pacers this playoffs.
Oh yeah, they're 5-3 when trailing by 15 points in the postseason.
Yeah, they're the Pat Mahomes of the NBA.
A 15 point deficit for this Pacers team is like a 5-point deficit. It's unbelievable how, like, and Jeff, to your point in the fourth quarter there, they just got red hot from three. I think they were 6 of 9 or maybe 7 of 10 from three in the fourth quarter alone.
And the Thunder didn't hit one.
The Thunder hit like three total shots in the final 5 minutes of the game. They weren't doing anything offensively, so the door was open. And then this Pacers team, which just, it's got the one-star player with Halliburton and then just a bunch of role players that are really good at their roles. They're just assassins in the clutch. It's incredible to watch. That comeback was awesome. And everyone will talk about the Tyrese Halliburton shot, but the Andrew Nembhard shot where he gets ISO'd on Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and he just cooks him. And then he throws up this wild three that goes in to cut it to 3 points.
Well, and then he shot an air ball, and Siakam was just standing there to catch it.
Under the rim. But, you know, that the one thing that shot was missing was Mark Jackson going, "Mama, there goes that man," because Richard Jefferson just doesn't live up to the moment. I know that's my second hate comment towards Richard Jefferson in the first 10 minutes, but I just missed the old ESPN broadcast.
Yeah, I've never been a fan of our Jeff either, but it's just because he hates the Celtics. He's just a hater.
So, also, real quick, guys, the OKC Thunder, also to your point, Jeff, that this doesn't change much. FanDuel has them still at -330 to win the series.
They're going
to
win the series. This means it'll go six.
I don't know. Keep doubting the Pacers.
It's not a doubt thing. It's just, you know.
I hear you saying that more talent is on the Thunder.
I think the Thunder just were not prepared for that moment in a way that is common for a team that doesn't play close games. They blow out teams or they get blown out. They lost, but they've won, like, basically every game by 30 points except for the game they lost by 42. Like, at least in the last series. The Nuggets series was different. But I don't know. Like, the Pacers are like the Pat Mahomes of the NBA, right? Like Pat
They're
Mahomes.
Never out of it.
Well, no. Pat Mahomes has this crazy stat that, like, in games his team trailed by 10 points, he's like 18-3. In the games his team was behind by 10 points.
Not the last game in the Superdome, though.
No, well, he was down by more than 10 than that one. But, a little different. But, yeah, I mean, I still think that's the thing. I do not think the Pacers are going to do what the Knicks did and come out kind of – I'm sorry, the Thunder are going to do what the Knicks did and come out kind of lazy and sleepwalk. I think they're going to win game two by 40, And then it's going to be a question of, can the Pacers hold serve at home and make this series interesting? Because I think they just kind of poked a bear. I also think Mark Dagnall deserves a ton of the blame because I don't know why they decided to go small. And like that's what the Pacers want you to do is go small, and they did it.
They got out-rebounded by like 20.
Right. It made no sense to take Chet Holmgren off the floor, to take Hartenstein off the floor. Like Hartenstein was dominating that game. And they just kind of played into the Pacers' hands. The Pacers ran threes. And then if you're going to play small, you better hit a three. They didn't hit a single three. Anyway.
There's something to be said, though, about this Indiana squad that it does.
No, they don't give up. They don't quit.
And
right?
They definitely believe they can come back no matter what.
The Thunder have been playing games all season where they took control and then the other team just kind of folded, right? Like, that's been their entire season. They won, what, 68 games, something like that? So, like, that's what the Pacers don't do. The Pacers are not that impressive of a basketball team. They just don't quit. And they hit shots in the clutch. You win games that way. I don't know if you win a series that way, but you win games that way.
I hope the series ends up being as fun as last night, at least.
Yeah, that's what we said about the Knicks series. Yeah. And the rest of that series wasn't all that fun.
Right. And I don't want to see these Thunder 40-point blowouts.
No, that's what I'll say about that. Like, if more NBA games were like that, then the NBA would have
a better product
to watch.
Yeah, for sure.
The problem is most NBA games are not like that. That is the anomaly. I'm just glad we didn't get a three-point. Like, the one rule change, if I had to push for one rule change in the NBA, it would be to outlaw fouling up three in the final 10 seconds.
Yeah, you said that.
Because it's like, why? Why do we allow this to happen? You ban transition take fouls. You don't let people just hack people anymore. So we've already litigated intentional fouls in that way. Like a transition take foul, a clear path foul, like you're already choosing to say you cannot foul in those instances. Just add one more, right? One other thing, reviews. My solution for the review system, unlimited challenges, but if you get it wrong, the other team gets a free throw. I solved the challenge system. Games will be won and lost.
They would never do that.
But they should, because games will be won and lost on whether the player is honest about whether he fouled the guy or not. And if you lie to your coach and get him to challenge and they get a free throw out of it, I mean, that's on you. It'll end. I mean, I don't know. You'll stop seeing flops. That's all I'm saying.
When we get back from the break, we're going to talk a lot about the Saints OTAs. Also hear Jeff's interview with Juwan Johnson in the Saints locker room after practice. You can sound off with us this Friday. Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line 504-260-1870. LSU baseball, Saints, NBA playoffs, you name it. We're talking about it right here on Sports Talk. Be right back on WWL.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way. At the exact same time, like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. And let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Welcome back into our Friday edition of Sports Talk, gearing up for Super Regional action tomorrow, starting for LSU baseball versus West Virginia. We'll have that for you. 1 o'clock first pitch, 12:30 pregame coverage going on. There is NCAA action today. The early game was UNC just smoking Arizona 18-2, and currently we got Louisville taking on Miami. They're in the top of the sixth. With Louisville up 8-1 over the Hurricanes. The 5 o'clock matchup coming up will be FSU versus Oregon State. And then Coastal Carolina versus Auburn is your 8 p.m. matchup. A little bit odd. Charlie and I were talking about this before the show too, Jeff. The fact that the Oregon State matchup against FSU is a 5 o'clock central first pitch, while the Auburn game is an 8 p.m. first pitch. You think they'd flip-flop that?
I don't know, man. They do what they do.
I'm not complaining though. I'm glad LSU's not the late game. I got, as an old man, like you said the previous segment, those late nights are rough.
Yeah, I've stopped trying to figure out how this is all managed and just tell me when they're playing. I'll watch it. Like it's never made sense to me. I think I'm just better off letting it be.
It plays out, whatever yeah. It is. Control what you can control, as the coaches always say.
Yes.
Talking about Saints OTAs, we got to witness three straight practices in 3 weeks. Now we get ready for the mandatory minicamp kicking off on Tuesday. And the fans will be out there, so that's another added element to it, which will be cool because, you know, Hudad's getting their first glimpse of the start of the Kellen Moore era. No DA around, no DC around. So
yeah.
I think there's that renewed interest in the club. Not to say that fans were, you know, falling off the Saints wagon, but there was definitely a lot of animosity towards the team.
Definitely lower. I mean,
right.
Yeah, we work in media. Like, you know when there's like a little less interest than typical, and that's been the case for the last 2 years, really. I mean, but, you know, it's funny, like, the OTA process, it's like, so it's one every 3 weeks, or I'm sorry, one a week for three weeks.
Yeah.
And so you get like one day, and then you spend the rest of the week talking about that one day of practice where they didn't really do anything.
Not this coming week.
And then you get to mini camp, and you have 3 days of talking about, or of the practices where they don't really do anything, and then a month to talk about it. And then you
save that audio.
Yeah. You get to training camp, and suddenly it's like they are doing stuff. It's every day, and you're drinking through a fire hose.
Right. You're swimming.
And it's like all drowning. That stuff that we spent so much time talking about in June. Well, it doesn't even matter because it was all make believe anyway. Like, we're every little thing that happens in these practices, we're like, oh man, you know, well, he threw a touchdown to him and this and that and the other thing. I don't know. I just find it funny because it's like, this is really me. Like, we make this into a way bigger thing than it is.
Yeah.
Because we're so desperate to talk about something. And in reality, it's like that Kellen Moore will get up there and like, yeah, we're just mostly just classroom stuff. You're not even there for that. But I do think that this OTA period has been more interesting than most because of the quarterbacks.
For sure.
Right? Because you at least have something to watch. And that is a young quarterback going against another young quarterback. Talked to both Foster Morrow and Juwan Johnson about that, and you know they're just having a good time. Like, the players are enjoying it, the players are excited about it, just like we are, because they're just kind of watching these guys compete. And I think competition at the most important position on the field is good for everybody. It gets everybody engaged: fans, players, coaches, the people competing. You know, I don't know. I think this is good for the team. We haven't had one of these in a while. Since the last time was Jameis Winston, Taysom Hill, and that kind of felt like one of these guys has to win the job. Like, there was never any, long term, this is going to be a huge for us.
Right.
It was like, if Jameis can be a capable starter in the NFL, fantastic, but then you were like, okay. Like, we saw that play out.
Jameis going to be Jameis.
Yeah, so, no, I mean, I think this is, people should be excited, even with the understanding that the season might not go well. Like, it can still be a productive season, even if the wins aren't necessarily there.
You mentioned tight end Juwan Johnson. You caught up with him in the Saints locker room after yesterday's voluntary workout. Here's Jeff with Juwan Johnson in yesterday's session.
Yeah, obviously, you go back a long way with Tyler. Mm-hmm. You know, how cool was it to see him drafted here and kind of reunite?
Honestly, I was so surprised. I remember me and my wife was watching it at home, and I was just so shocked to see that. Not that he was drafted, you know, early, but that he was drafted here. And so I was just like, man, like, he's coming here. Like, you know, we used to be, you know, roommates on the road trips. And so, you know, just talking to him and you know, being with him again, I think it's great. It's fun. You know, I got one of my guys back. And so, we just building camaraderie. We just, you know, having fun. We're going out to dinner, catching up, doing all those other things. So I think it's really good that, you know, the Saints trusting him to come in here to kind of do a job to, you know, kind of bring the Saints back to what it was. So I'm excited to see what he does.
Have you noticed kind of a difference from the, you know, the Tyler you remember at Oregon versus the Tyler you kind of
honestly
worked
with him last year? He's just a little older. I think he's just the same guy as he was in college. Like, fun guy. He's really into, you know, his little sarcasm, but I think it's great, man. He shows a lot of personality that I think he might not always put off to, you know, everybody else, but I think he's great, man. I think he's fun. I think he's a guy who's wanting to win, true competitor. We've done a lot of things in Oregon together, like playing basketball games against other people. Like, we go back quite a bit.
Gotcha. And just this offseason for you, I know last year you dealt with the foot injury that kind of derailed a lot. You know, how good has this process been to just kind of get into this offense, and do you feel like this is going to be an opportunity for you to be featured a little more than maybe you were early in the season last year?
Honestly, I just want to be consistent. That's kind of like the biggest thing for me. Like I said, there's years before where I haven't been as consistent. I think the biggest thing for me this year is being consistent from the first game to the last game. And I think I think this team deserves that. The city wants to see that, and I think I deserve that as well. So just working on being consistent and doing what I need to do to stay on the field, and just be there for the quarterback, be there for the team.
That was Saints sideline reporter right here, Jeff Nowak, with Juwan Johnson, tight end for the Black and Gold. And you know, it's crazy. He wants to be more consistent, but he was the Saints' leading receiver last season.
That's
that says a lot.
It's kind of sad. That's what happens when all of your wide receivers are gone by week 10. But yeah, no, and Bobby talked a lot about this yesterday. It's like, that's what he wants to see out of Juwan. He wants consistency. And
right.
It's funny because it's like, yeah, he agrees. Juwan thinks the same thing. Like, you're saying the same thing. And he understands that, like, yeah, he should be a more focal point of this offense. And that's why I saw a lot of people when he was signed to that extension kind of being like, wow, holy overpay. Like, that's way too much.
It definitely seemed like
for
it.
What Juwan has provided. And I agree with that to an extent, but the way I look at it is, and the way you should look at it is, you're not paying a guy for the last 3 years. You're paying a guy for the next 3 years.
Right.
And what that contract signaled to me, 3 years, $30 million, is not that you're overpaying Juwan Johnson for what you saw. It is that your intention,
you're investing,
is to feature him in this offense. You know, one thing that happened at OTAs that I thought was interesting is, like, Juwan's not participating in any special teams work, right? Like, that's a star player. Like, they were doing special team stuff. A majority of the roster was over there doing special team stuff. He was over with the tight ends coach, with Chase Haslett and Foster Morrow, who's not working, but he's kind of basically an assistant coach out there, doing agility drills and doing tight end work. So, like, that's what you do with a star player. Like, that's what you do with a player that is too important to your offense to have him participating in special teams. There's only a handful of guys on your team that you do that for, and one of those guys is Juwan Johnson. So, like, that's my belief this year. And we've said this, you know, people kind of roll their eyes, like, fantasy football, whatever. Like, I think one of the issues for Juwan in terms of production is he just hasn't been featured enough in the offenses over the last 2 years and given opportunities. I mean, he had, like, two targets over the first 3 weeks of last season. When he was productive, it was later in the year when he was getting more targets. So, you know, I think the injury last year played a part. He missed all of training camp, at least out in Irvine. His first practice was when we came back here at Tulane. He got out there for the first time. But, you know, that's tough, right? Like, yes, he's familiar with Derek Carr, but it was a whole new offense. And so week one, you get out there. How comfortable does Clint Kubiak feel with Juwan in that system? How comfortable does Derek Carr feel with Juwan in that system, not having thrown to him all offseason? So I think he has a chance to be a very big piece of the offense this year, and the contract is telling you that.
For me, too, it's like you look at this tight end room, and there's not a lot around, especially with Foster Moreau right now on the shelf.
Yeah, I mean, you could have invested more in the draft. You know, there was a few really intriguing tight ends. You chose not to do that. You chose to go with the offensive lineman. And, yeah, so, I mean, you did draft a tight end, but you drafted him at number 248 overall. So that's not someone you intend to contribute right away in Malik Yamatova. So, yeah, I mean, again, you know, these are indications that your plan is to feature Jawan Johnson. And his job is to deliver on those opportunities. And he's better set up this year than he was last year.
Hopefully we can see Kellen Moore, you know, take advantage of Jawan like he used kind of Dallas Goedert with the Eagles.
Yeah, I think that's the vision, right? You know, and you know, I looked this up, you know, like Jawan, they're all of the top tight ends in the league. You know, all of them had like 90-plus targets. Jawan is sitting around like 55, right, 60. If you give him 30 more targets, he's going to be up in that range with those top 10 tight ends. Now, how do you get him those 30 targets? Does he catch those 30 targets? Those are the questions. But, you know, when they gave him chances in the offense, he delivered. So we'll see. But, no, I mean, like Foster Moreau, where is he going to be to start the season? He's out there. He's very involved. But it's just tough at this point to know what he's going to be able to contribute. Jack Stoll is another guy that you're looking at. Dallin Hawker is still around. I did see him running yesterday, so he's getting closer. But he hasn't been doing any of this work. He's dealing with an injury. But yeah, I mean, we'll see. But the tight end's going to be an important position in this offense.
Talking about Foster Moreau, Kellen Moore sure has a lot of good things to say about the veteran tight end.
Foster's one of the all-time best. I have loved every interaction with Foster since I got here. He is everything we want in our program. And so I think he's a great example. He can't do much of anything from a physical standpoint. He's out there every day. He's in every meeting. He's leading the group. He's got a voice, and you hear it in 7-on-7 periods. And he's, you know, chewing and yelling at people left and right. And so it's special. You know, I think he's everything we want.
Everything we want. Very high praise from a coach that hasn't really gotten to work much with Moreau yet.
Yeah, you know, Kellen's interesting because Kellen, I feel like, is going to be a guy that when he doesn't want to answer a question, you might as well just like tune out and stop listening because he will say a bunch of like nouns and verbs and adjectives that all
Coach
kind
speak,
of
yeah.
loosely translate to I'm not going to answer your question. There'll be a lot of words that mean other things, but that's what the answer is. But he will say things when he is willing to answer your question, he will give you information. It is not like, I'm just not going to give you anything. Because when you hear, so he had an answer about Foster. He had an answer about Alante Taylor. He had an answer about Devon Godchild. That it's like, this is high praise from a head coach for guys who are, you know, and I'm not saying Alante's competing for a position, but it's a very kind of amorphous situation with this new defensive scheme, the new offense. Like, you don't know where a lot of these things are going to land. You don't know what Devon Godchild's role is going to be. You don't know whether Foster's going to make the roster. I didn't mean to rhyme there, but like Foster's dealing coming off a knee injury. Like that's for on a different coaching staff, right? Like there's no commitment from Kellen Moore to Foster Moreau to keep him around. But when you hear stuff like that from the head coach, it's pretty telling that, you know, they're going to wait for him to be healthy. Like it's not going to be like, yeah, what's the point? He's dealing with an injury. Let's move on. Like, that's not what you say about a guy that you are not intending to have a significant role on your team.
And definitely with a guy like Foster Moreau, the passion is just always there
oh,
with
man,
him.
Yeah.
Loves to be in the black and gold, a Louisiana guy, played at LSU.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I feel like this team needs that, that veteran presence that just is a great representation of what you want for the black and gold.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't have to be here. Like, he could easily not be here. But, you know, he's just, like, that's such a big part. Well, here, we should listen to Foster's interview because he talked about that a little bit. Like, it's important to him to be involved and to build a culture even when he's not able to get on the field. You know, and it's interesting because this year, more than most recent years, you know, we've seen several veterans not be here that would typically be here. Cam Jordan has missed the last two sessions, which is not usual for him.
At least the last two media sessions. We got to clarify that, too.
That's true.
We don't
know exactly what was going on in the other ones, if he just didn't want to talk to us. I don't know. But we haven't seen Cam Jordan. Tyrann Mathieu, we didn't see in any of them,
correct,
which is unusual. He's a guy that typically would miss
a late arriver.
Would miss one, maybe
right.
two, but he would be there. Like Chase Young, for example, he missed the first one. Or I say missed. Like, we didn't see him. So I do want to make that clear. Like, he could have been there on one of the days
week
and not the day we were out
we
there.
Saw, right.
We didn't see him in week one. We did see him in week two. We didn't see him in week three. See, like, I'm okay with that. I feel like getting there, kind of putting your time in, and, you know, especially with the new head coach, all the new coaches, like, I feel like there's value there. It's strange to not see a guy any of the three sessions, unless you are an Alvin Kamara who just never goes, and that's not unusual. Like, it would have been a surprise to see him. Taysom Hill, who's dealing, coming off a significant knee injury. I don't think they expect him back anytime soon. He hasn't been there.
Right.
But the Tyrann Mathieu one just seems odd that he wouldn't be there for one. But I don't want to make too big of a deal out of it because, you know, guys, there could be mitigating circumstances. We don't know what people are dealing with. And maybe there is a good reason that he's not there.
And they're also voluntary workouts.
Yeah, they are voluntary workouts. I've always been of the belief that, like, I don't need people there for all three, but I do want to see people
a
there
presence.
For one.
I hear you.
Devon Godshaw, you know, he's right. A good example of this is the first time we saw him, but he was in one of the videos that the Saints posted from workouts last week on Friday. So he wasn't there on the Thursday, or at least not out there, but he was there on the Friday. So there are situations where guys, you know, miss one day and they're there the next day.
Got any questions on Saints OTAs? Give us a shout, 504-260-1870. That's the Oakwin Heart Jewelers talking text line. We'll take a break and get back with more of the Black and Gold right after this. Stay tuned on WWL Saints Radio.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. And let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Welcome back into Sports Talk. We were talking off Saints OTAs wrapping up yesterday. Got to go out there and view the third session for the media next week. Back to back to back. Mandatory minicamp that we'll be out there for. Keep it locked on WWL for all the coverage. The Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, will be out there, so we'll have his notes on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. You don't want to miss from the Cannon's point of view of practice. We were talking a little bit about tight end Foster Moreau. He talked to the media in the locker room yesterday. Let's hear a little of what Moreau had to say.
How important has it been for you to still be involved throughout this process, even though you're not on the field working? Like, I know that's a big
part of your DNA is just being a leader in the locker room. Like, how important has that been for you?
It's hard to leave when you're not able to do your, like, your main job, right? I think finding ways to have interpersonal communication with the new guys and make sure that everyone's on the same page as we're going out to practice. I think that's critical. Past that, you know, just being vocal and being a good teammate, just being excited for your friends and using this time as you can, right? We're only at the facility for, you know, a minimum of 6 hours. So trying to use the rest of that time, the rest of the 18 to try and, you know, make a friend or get someone kind of acquainted to what the culture we want to set is this year.
How big is that, establishing the culture and doing it in times like OTAs and everything?
Yeah, I mean, there's a misconception around sports that, you know, culture is long lasting throughout tens of 15s of decades of time, right? Like, oh, these guys are always going to be down just because they've always been down, which isn't necessarily true, right? Culture can be reestablished and reset from year to year. And it is, right? Because you have new faces, new leadership, new coaches, and just a new feel, right? No season is the same and no team is the same from season to season. That is what it is. You could have a lot of the same faces and you could have a lot of similar results, but nothing's ever going to be
what's the deal right now with the new coaching staff here and some new players?
It's great. You know, everything in the offseason is rubber bullets, and we have to see what happens when real bullets fly. But it's awesome. I think it's been a really productive season. I think these guys are really grasping the new systems really well.
Yeah, this is your first time going into a season with a young quarterback room, obviously with Derek and last year. So what are some of the differences when you're, you know, working with a young quarterback? Obviously, you haven't played with him yet, but.
Yeah, I don't know. It's been different for sure, and we definitely have a competition on our hands. I think our guys have looked really good, top to bottom. I know Hainer's not able to get out there right now, but I think Jake's looked great. I think he's looked polished. The polish is certainly something I've noticed from year one to year two. Shug is as advertised. I think he makes great decisions, can spin the ball really well, and throws a really tight, neat spiral. I mean, even Decker looks great out there. The lefty. I mean, you know, I don't know. I haven't played with a left-handed quarterback in a long time. But we have a full-blown competition on our hands, and I'm excited to see what happens when bullets fly, when people are rushing the passer, just to see who steps up and what happens. It's been a cool experience, though, right? Because those guys are constantly trying to better themselves, which is an awesome, awesome thing.
Obviously, the competition coming because Jerry Carr retires, and you had a close connection with him, maybe more than anyone else in this locker room. When it happened, what conversations did you have with him, and, you know, how difficult were those talks?
I was very grateful to Derek for everything that he had done for me early in my career and introducing me to what real NFL football is and giving me a chance when he didn't necessarily have to. But, you know, my rookie year, I came in and I was just bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, just trying my best to, you know, make friends and try to get on the field. And, you know, he gave me a little bit of perspective on what it was going to take to be successful and play for longer than people would expect you to. And so just for that and for always being there for me and being a friend, especially when I was at my lowest points, he was always there for me at every point. And I know the people in this city have mixed emotions on him. And, like, I understand that, you know, we always want success, right? But I'll always be grateful to him just because he's an A-plus dude.
Saints tight end Foster Moreau there. Mixed emotions from the Who Dat Nation. That's a nice way to say it.
Yeah, no, I think that was very diplomatic. I agree with Foster. Like, I think a lot of people have this, like, such heavy disdain for Derek because they didn't like him as a player that they've decided he's just a bad person. Like, Derek's not a bad person. Derek Carr's not a bad dude. You didn't like him. I get it. But, like, that's why, like, the conspiracy theories of, like, oh, man, something nefarious must have been going on. It was like, I don't know. He just didn't want to have surgery, and he kind of was like, all right, I'm done.
I don't know. I'm buying into conspiracy
theories. Yeah, it's a lot easier than just saying, like, oh, okay, something.
Yeah, he just wanted to give up $30 million out of the goodness of his heart. Right. I get it.
I know. I'm not saying that. But, no, I mean, as someone who talked to Derek a good bit over the last 2 years, like, I never got the impression that he was just an evil person. Like, he's just a dude that didn't get along with Saints fans for one reason or another.
Square peg, round hole.
Yes, it just didn't fit. It was a failed experiment. You know, it's a SpotRack put out a list of, like, the teams with the most dead or void years on their contracts, and The Saints are at the top of that list. The Eagles were second. And it's like, if you look at all the teams in like the top five or top 10, it's like they're one of two things. They're trying to win a Super Bowl in the next few years, or they're trying to survive a bad quarterback contract. The Saints are one of those teams. The Browns are one of those teams.
We're heading to break. We'll be back with more of Sports Talk. Stay tuned right here on WWL. Reminder, folks, WWL is your home for LSU in the NCAA Baton Rouge Super Regional. At the box, the Tigers take on West Virginia this weekend in a best-of-three series. First game is tomorrow, 1 o'clock, pregame 12:30. Game 2, Sunday, 5 p.m. with a pregame of 4:30. And if necessary, we'll have that third game for you on Monday with the time to be announced later on. Catch all the exciting LSU baseball action this weekend, presented by our Tiger Baseball 11 sponsors, Jerry Lane Cadillac, Louisiana Dental Center, Hooters, Cummins, Niquad and Sinceri Law Firm, First American Bank, and E3 Industrial. On WWL and the free Odyssey app, go Tigers. We're going to take a break, come back with even more after the top of the hour news break. Stay tuned on our Friday edition of Sports Talk right after this.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Grilling season is in full swing, and Whole Foods Market has the essentials to make summer meals simple, flavorful, and affordable. With great everyday prices across the store, it's easy to build a crowd-pleasing spread without sacrificing quality. The 365 by Whole Foods Market brand offers a wide selection of grilling favorites, like no antibiotics ever chicken thighs, ground beef, wild-caught salmon burgers, and uncured hot dogs. There are also plenty of sides to choose from, including organic salad kits, kettle cooked chips, tortilla chips, and bold zesty salsas. For toppings and marinades, look for organic condiments like no sugar added ketchup and yellow mustard, plus spice rubs and sauces to bring extra flavor. To round things out, pick up sparkling water, organic lemonade, and pints of ice cream, plus organic cake cones for an easy summer dessert. There are so many ways to save on summer grilling favorites at Whole Foods Market.